I want to read just one verse for my message this morning, Romans chapter 9, and look at verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Now here's the question. For who hath resisted his will? The Apostle Paul, our beloved brother, anticipated objection to God's immutable sovereign will.
Yes, sir.
He understood the reality of human nature, probably far more, to a far more degree than I will ever do so. But he understood, even amidst believers, that there is that within us that is repulsed by the absolute irresistibility of God's will.
You're right.
We are such prideful, selfish creatures that our flesh always demands its will.
Yeah. You're right.
You know what our Lord said about a people. They will not have this man to reign over them.
Amen.
Now Paul forms this objection that he anticipated with two questions, doesn't he? Let's read it one more time. Thou wilt say then unto me. Here's the first question. Why does God find fault then? If what Paul has just written is true, how can God find fault in anyone if everyone is simply doing God's will? Now, I understand that in religion today, that even repulses them in their mind to even think of saying something like that.
Right.
And of course, they come up, their answer is, well, that makes God the author of sin. You know, and there's no, I'm not dealing with all those. Paul doesn't even deal with their objections other than to say this: if you reply against God's absolute sovereign will, you're replying against God.
Exactly.
That's the only thing he responds to. So the first question was, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Paul never denies the reality of God's immutable sovereign will. Some want to say he merely brought this up, but he was not really proposing that. That is absolute nonsense. It is to take the clear words of Paul and throw them to the wind.
Yeah.
None has ever resisted God's will.
Amen.
None has ever resisted God's will. But what about none has ever resisted God's will? Oh, Holy Spirit, burn that within our hearts and minds. Many are ignorant of God's will. Yes. Many deny His will. Yes. Many may seek to fight against His will. Yes. Many may pervert His will, at least with their false and treacherous words. But none ever has resisted His will. In other words, God's will is being done in spite of man's rebellion.
Amen.
Yea, God's immutable sovereign will encompasses all actions, interactions, reactions, and even objections, etc., 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 which will ever exist in the whole universe.
Amen.
God's will is supreme.
Amen.
And God's will is being done always.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Again, I will say this in a little different way. Men may rebel against His commandments.
Oh, yeah.
But there's even some commandments that they cannot disobey. Stretch forth thy hand. Well, that was the one thing the man could not do because his hand was withered.
Yeah.
But with that command,
yes, sir,
came the ability to stretch forth his hand. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Take up thy bed and walk. That's the one thing the man couldn't do.
Exactly.
His friends had to carry him in what we might call a gurney, like a little bed, and tear off the roof thatching and lower him down in front of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Take up thy bed and walk. With that command, Jesus Christ gave the power to obey the command.
Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus, who was blind and couldn't see, Jesus, thou son of David, he cried it and wouldn't shut up when people told him, be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus commanded him to be called.
Yes, sir.
You see that? Right. He commanded him to be called. There was no one going to stop that.
That's right.
Again, thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? Because there is fault.
Amen.
We're plumb full of fault.
Yes, sir.
Our whole being is nothing but fault.
Exactly.
God's will is in control of absolutely everything. I love what Don Fortner, and he may have put it this way for many a years, but I just begin to hear him say it. Maybe it was God opening my ears to hear him say it. I don't know which one would be it, but he said, God manipulates time and tide and men to perform his sovereign will.
Exactly.
Now I'm going to give you some examples of this. But this is not going to be some theological treatise of me trying to theologically explain these things. We're just going to look at what God's book says.
Amen.
I'm not going to tell you how many illustrations we're going to give you because it'll scare you, and I know you're hungry. And so am I. And that's what Henry Mayhead says. Sometimes don't tell them how many points you got. They'll be tired of you before you even get started. So I've already scared you nonetheless.
There you go.
I should have just lied and told you 2 points. Spread about some, right? Preachers lie anyway, don't they? Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. What I'm going to give you is not something new. But it definitely is not something that's taught in what is called nominal, normal, denominational Christianity. Look at these words. Genesis 2 verse 16. And the Lord God commanded. Do you see that one word? For years, my mind passed right over that. Oh, I knew it was a command. I'm not saying that. But look. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He commanded him to this.
Yes, sir.
Do you see it? But this is still a command. Same sentence.
Yep.
Same command.
Yep.
Do you understand this now?
Yeah.
Let us see. This is a command. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. Or eat of it, right? He commanded him not to eat it. He didn't command him to eat of it. But it commanded him not to eat of it.
Yep.
But the command's not done yet.
Exactly.
Look at it. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. With the command, he was told, something's going to happen.
That's right.
God was not ignorant of what was going to take place. God put the tree in the garden for a purpose. One, to show his sovereign right. I have the right. You can eat of everything. Everything but one tree.
Right.
It's mine. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
And when you do,
yeah,
you will die that day. He didn't say if you do.
No, he didn't.
This is a command.
In that day.
Do you see that? Somebody says, well, that makes the stop. Stop the madness. Stop the rebellion against God. This is thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
God was pleased to show his grace. The only way he's going to show grace is if you have objects that need grace.
There you go.
God was pleased to show his mercy and compassion before the world ever was.
Amen.
But without an object of mercy and compassion, without an object that needs mercy and compassion, it don't mean anything, does it?
Yeah.
Even group rebellion. Turn to Genesis chapter 50. Even group rebellion. Genesis chapter 50. And remember, I'm not extending this further than Paul did, because Paul talked about even Pharaoh, and for this same purpose have I raised thee up. And yes, Pharaoh was a rebellious man.
Yes, sir.
And it didn't take God 10 tries to get him to let the people go. No. God purposed 10 plagues upon it. The 10th one meant to let the people go, and it happened.
Amen.
But look at these verses. Genesis 50, verse 20. This is Joseph's words to his brothers. But as for you, ye thought evil against me.
Exactly.
Now when he says you think it, he don't mean this was just in your mind. He's talking about that's where it started, was down in there. They actually did what they thought they wanted to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now they began, the first thing was going to kill him, and God moved one of them to say, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Just one. Yeah. Just turned the whole others around, did he not? But you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good.
Amen.
They were still guilty of what they thought to do and did do to Joseph.
Yes, sir.
They were not excused of God for what they did, but the very thing they thought as evil toward Joseph is what God meant for good.
Amen.
Now that's our God, whether men and women or you out there like it or not.
Right. Exactly.
And look, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Therefore, now therefore, whew, oh, what a word, fear ye not.
Amen.
Hmm? He didn't say you're not guilty. They were guilty.
Oh, yeah.
But don't fear.
Right.
Hmm. There is good even in men's sin. But the good is not perpetrated by them. It is purposed by God.
Amen. That's it.
And individuals, look at an individual's propensity to error. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Now I got to move along. Genesis 12 and verse 14. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, and he had to flee because there's famine, there's trouble. And cut him to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair, that was his wife. And she, if the Bible says she was fair, believe you me, she was a beautiful woman. And the princes of also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake. He had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. You see it? And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is it that thou hast done unto me? Huh?
Yeah.
Why didst not thou tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to my own wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. This was a Pharaoh. He could have just killed Abram and been done with him. Had him wiped out and took his wife. He probably had hundreds at his beck and call. But what happened? God Almighty stopped him in his tracks.
Sir.
Hmm? Aren't you glad for a God like that?
Amen.
Sometimes, not always, but it's still His will either way. Sometimes He stops us in our tracks.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? Sometimes He don't let us go too far. As a matter of fact, it probably would be better to say we never go too far, except in our own rebellion. In our own minds and in our own hearts. So there's an individual's propensity to err. What about this? An individual's actual hatred. 2 Samuel. Turn to 2 Samuel. We're looking at examples of God's absolute sovereignty and His will being done. 2 Samuel. That's after 1 Samuel, right? That's where I'll find that one. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Second 2 Samuel 16, verse 9. Are you there? Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord? And that's this man Shimei out there cursing David, throwing rocks at him.
Yeah.
Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And that's all it would have took would have been a wink from David.
Yeah.
Right? He went over and took off this dead dog's head.
Yes, sir.
And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David.
Yeah.
What?
What?
That's what David said.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, well, I believe David exaggerated. Well, you believe wrong.
Exactly.
You believe wrong. Mm-hmm. Even blatant defiance. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter. Even blatant defiance. God controls it under his sovereign will. Exodus 5. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? You see the defiance here?
Yes, sir.
Smart aleck in the face of God.
Yes, sir.
I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray they, 3 days into the journey. And on goes on, and guess what? They did. And they went even further. They left Egypt forever.
Yes, sir.
You see that? They left. Why? Because God made it happen.
Yes, sir.
God even used Pharaoh. And when that 10th plague happened, and that firstborn in every house died where there was no blood on the doorpost and the lintels. The Israelites, the Jews, did not simply walk out with a few ragged slave things. They spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptian says, here's some gold. Here's some silver. Take it with you.
Go away.
Take it with you. All, turn to Psalm 76. Turn this off. I'll say what I got to say here in just a moment. Psalm 76. Listen to me. All human wrath is subservient to God's will.
Yes, sir.
Psalm 76, verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And when I finish with these examples, I won't even have scratched the surface. There's just a few that caught my eye as I was reading through the scriptures. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain.
Amen.
So there, man would do a lot of wrath.
Yeah.
But if it's not according to God Almighty's sovereign will to do what? To me, bring him praise, he will restrain it.
That's it.
What does it say? The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain.
Amen.
So if it happens, it meant God Almighty decreed it could happen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Even undue action was proposed by God to declare free grace. And I won't turn to it. Hosea 1 verse 2. Hosea, go marry a whore.
Yeah.
Hmm?
That's what he said.
Now, nowhere else did God tell anybody to go marry some whore. Now, did he? Hmm?
That's it.
Why? To demonstrate his free mercy and compassion.
Amen.
Yes. What a beautiful account that is of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea, I love the way Don put it. Hosea was in her house with her lovers.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not even going to talk about, you know what they were doing in there? And she'd get up in the morning and here was all these bags of groceries laying around. That's the way Don put it. Wine, flax, and oil. She said, look what my lovers gave me, what they left me.
Yeah.
Their price. She thought, well, they paid up. It was Hosea sneaking up there at night putting groceries on her porch. And folks, that's what God did for us even when we were in rank rebellion against him. He was giving us our groceries.
Amen.
He's taking care of us.
Yes, sir.
Even when we had our fists shoved in the face of God.
Yes, sir.
He loved us. Yes. And he gave himself for us. And he was protecting us from ourselves even then.
Yes,
but it doesn't mean he wiped away everything either, was it? We still bragging about our lovers, wasn't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Bragging about our lovers. Here's another one. God's will is confessed by believers even if the circumstances seem to dictate to the contrary. Turn to Daniel. Now, that's one you all might have to help me find. I should have bookmarked that one for sure. I had to look in front of my Bible to find out where Daniel was, or Jonah was. Where is Daniel? It's after Ezekiel, right?
Yes.
Keep a help. I'm in Hosea. Here we go. Daniel. I got Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Let me give it to you again. I kind of messed that up. God's will is confessed by believers, even if circumstances seem to dictate to the contrary. Because it's not about what we see. It's about who God is and what he's doing.
Amen.
Now let's look at it. Verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 16. I hope I'm... Yes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not. You see it? But they know he's able. The only thing they don't know is he willing.
Exactly.
But if he's willing, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're not afraid to answer this. They're not afraid to say it.
Yeah.
And some people say, well, I believe that, but I'm afraid to say it. Then you don't really believe it.
Right.
You don't really believe it.
That's it.
But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
That's it.
That's what the gift of faith does.
Yes, sir.
That's not courage, that's faith.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? That's not bravery, that's faith. That's faith. Because I'm going to tell you something, even if he'd have cast them in there. Now remember, it was heated up, he was so angry, they heated it up, what was it, seven times? Seven or eight times hotter than normal? So that it was so hot that the men who were casting them bound into the fire died, it was so hot?
Yeah.
If it had burned them to a crisp, where would they have went?
Yeah.
To be with Christ.
There you go.
God would have delivered them from Nebuchadnezzar.
Amen.
Here's another one. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Somebody said, preacher, you've been preaching that for years. I hope so. I really hope so. Did you and Paul and Joe just say the same things over and over and over? I hope so. Acts chapter 4. Let me give it to you, the statement, then we'll read the passage. The whole of God's gracious purpose in salvation has God's will as the one preeminent foundation, even though in that will were the very wicked acts of men against his beloved Son.
Yes, sir.
Everything they did to him, God determined before for it to be done.
Yes,
and
sir.
They were guilty. He still found them at fault. And Peter on Pentecost told them they were at fault. You murdered a just man. Right? But let's read what the book says. Verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, they weren't in disagreement about this. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Even David said they were going to do this.
Yes, sir.
The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. And here it is. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Amen.
I don't mean to be brasher, but every nodule of hocked up spit that they spit upon our Lord, God Almighty ordained it.
Yes, sir.
The hands with which they slapped his face and the fists with which they buffeted him was determined before by God.
Amen.
The tree that he on which he hung, God made sure that tree, when it sprouted up, grew into a tree big enough for them to make a cross out of. Huh?
All right. Yep.
Yeah. Now, Lord, here we go. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. You see, when God actually saved me and began to show me who he really was, I had something to tell then.
Yes, sir.
I really did. All I had to tell before then, at best, was fundamental Baptist doctrine. That was it. But when God opened up my eyes, it's like, whoa.
Yes, sir.
This book's talking about somebody.
Amen.
This somebody is the God of all glory. And that God of all glory came in human flesh to redeem a people. I got something to say now. God, give me boldness to do it. Boldness to do it. So again, the whole of God's gracious purpose in salvation has God's will as the preeminent foundation. God ordained wicked acts of men that my soul might be saved when they did it against our Lord on our behalf. Here's the last one. That was 10 of them. Or that was 9 of them. Here's the 10th one. Turn to Revelation 17 first. Let me turn to Revelation 17. And like I said, I will not have even scratched the surface. I would venture to say that almost on every page of the Bible, just according to how big your how pages are and how big the print is, you're going to find this decreed, declared, manifested, illustrated in God's Word. None can resist God's will.
Amen.
And you can pick out a few isolated verses and try to combat that, but you will never succeed.
You're right.
All right, Revelation 17, here's my statement. Even unified Antichrist devoted rebellion.
Yeah.
Hear us say it. Even unified Antichrist devoted rebellion is God's will being done.
You're right.
Revelation 17, verse 13. Where am I at? Yeah, 17, verse 13. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, the beast is not a loving character. I'm not going into all that. It's the beast. They have one mind to give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb.
Yep.
And the Lamb shall overcome them.
Amen.
Why? Why? Why do you even permit? Yeah. Permit or suffer? And I like that word better than permit. Yeah. Because God is long-suffering to all men.
Yes,
I mean, you know. These shall make war with the Lamb. Why? Because the Lamb's purpose to publicly overcome them.
Amen.
To give them the routing. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I want to be a part of that group, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. That's what the book says. That's not metaphor here. That's explanation. That's explanation, correct? And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her with fire, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Look what it says. Not for the beast, not for the devil, not for Satan, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will.
Amen.
And to agree. And to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled.
Amen.
I'm happy to serve a God like that.
Yes, sir.
If my God's will is not irresistible, my God is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's right.
That's the problem. It's not that, well, I don't believe that, but we still all believe in God. We don't believe in the same God. Your God's got a little g, starts his God. My God's got the big G because he's sovereign over all things.
Amen.
Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Heavenly Father, oh God, we need to be constantly taught this. We're so prone to tuck tail and run. But Lord, help us. Be with us. Strengthen us. Be merciful and gracious to you, to us, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Lord, we thank you for the food that we have here, and give us a time of socializing and a fellowship in the gospel of Christ. In Christ's name, amen.